This week on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com, we look at the new law costing a middle-class couple over $21,000. Hi, I'm Chris Stein, a certified financial planner and a finance instructor at Colorado State University, and welcome to this week on HelpWithMySocialSecurity.com. So once again this week, we are still kind of reeling from the effects of the new law that changed the rules on Social Security claiming that went into effect in November of 2015. It's now January of 2016. When these new rules were put into place, they were described by the proponents of these new rules that they were, quote, closing loopholes that certain people, mostly rich people, were taking advantage of. And these new rules were just going to kind of clean things up so that those loopholes were not available to people anymore. And we've described this, if you've been listening for a while, as really a mischaracterization of what's going on, and that really rich people don't really care so much about how Social Security claiming strategies are or are not available to them, because Social Security is such a small piece of their overall financial situation. But middle class and lower income people are very, very reliant on Social Security as part of their overall retirement planning. So we are going to take a look at this week. A couple contacted us with some questions, and this is a couple who we're familiar with here in the office because we'd seen their financial situation before, and they put together a retirement plan. And so we knew that they had made plans to utilize some of the strategies that were available prior to these rule changes. So we were not surprised when they contacted us to find out how this was actually going to affect them. So they have a good story, and it's very relatable, and I think it applies to a lot of people that are what most people would consider middle class, those people who are looking to have Social Security be a part of their retirement plan. And so let's examine their situation. Let me describe it first, and I'm going to keep them anonymous. We're going to call them George and Georgette, and they're both over the age of 62, and that means that they are grandfathered into the old rules for one particular situation, and that is the ability to file what's called a restricted application. A restricted application is available to people who, once they reach age 66, or technically their full retirement age, which for both of these individuals is age 66, they are allowed to pick and choose which benefit that they want to file for when they go into Social Security. It's called filing a restricted application. Instead of just asking Social Security to pay whatever Social Security deems is the best for them, they're able to pick and choose. So it just gives flexibility. So if there's some unique reason why you might want to forego one benefit in favor of another, the restricted application technique is allowed. Now, both of these people are allowed to do this once they reach 66 because they met the requirement, which is they had to be 62 by the end of 2015 to still be able to do this. If they were younger than they are now, if they were younger than 62 at this point, they would be barred from using the restricted application technique. But the good news in this whole story, they are still able to do that. Neither of them have reached 66, though, so they're between 62 and 66. And so that means if neither of them reach 66, which is the case for them by April 30th of 2016, they would lose out on a different strategy, which is called the file and suspend strategy, or really the suspending while allowing your spouse to collect strategy, I guess is more appropriately the description here. And that is, for those of you who have listened in the past, know that you can file for your own benefit, and that will unlock the door for a spouse to collect a spousal benefit on your record. And in the old rules, you were able to suspend your benefit or kind of put it on hold, and your spouse would still be able to collect. That is gone now, as most of you know, if you've been listening for the past couple of months. And they did have a grandfathering clause where if you were deploying this technique prior to April 30th of 2016, you were able to continue doing so. Neither of these folks fall into that category. So they've lost out on the suspending benefits, letting your spouse continue to collect strategy, but they have retained the restricted application strategy. So they're not completely cut out of these two things, but they've kind of lost half of it. So to move on with their story, George is going to turn 66 in about a year, and Georgette is about 2 years, actually almost exactly 2 years younger, so still has 3 years to her full retirement age. They both have generated their own retirement benefit in Social Security. They both worked in Social Security jobs during their lifespan. George has a higher Social Security benefit for a couple of reasons. One, he typically worked higher paying jobs, and two, Georgette took some time off, some years off, raising kids, and of course that means no Social Security credits being earned due to work during those years. So George has a full retirement age benefit of $1,800, and Georgette has a benefit earned of $1,300. Now, when they put together their retirement plan, they took the approach that we really encourage in this office, in our office here, which is to try to find or generate secure income sources enough to cover your fixed or required expenses. What we mean by that is we want to make sure, if you follow our recommendations in this office, that all of your required expenses, those that you must pay, like taxes and health care and living expenses and food and things like that, those things are covered by sources of income that are not going to suddenly go away or drop or be reduced, but they're being paid for in a reliable manner. Allows you to sleep well at night knowing that at least the basics are absolutely covered. So they bought into that. They really agreed with that kind of philosophy. And so when they did their retirement plan, they figured out that in order to do that, they needed to maximize their Social Security benefits. Their long-term outlook to cover medical expenses and taxes and other living expenses, they would need to have higher Social Security income than what they would earn if they claimed at their full retirement age, which is a 66. They instead really needed to wait as long as possible and wait until, which would mean wait until age 70 to claim their benefits. That would generate for them the highest amount of secure Social Security income so that they would be in a better position moving forward past that to have all their required expenses covered by secure income sources. So what they'd planned to do is both wait until 70 to claim. However, under the old rules, Georgette would be able to file for a spousal benefit once she returned 66. Now, George is 2 years older, so George at age 68 would have to file for his benefit, because you have to file for a benefit in order to unlock the door for your spouse to claim a spousal benefit. But immediately, George would suspend his benefit because, of course, his goal is to wait to 70 to claim to maximize the long-term monthly benefits they're going to receive from Social Security. And that would be allowed under the old rules. George would be able to file and suspend at 68, which would unlock the door for Georgette, who's that at that time 66, to claim a spousal benefit alone until she turned age 70, where she would then switch to her own benefit. This is a very, very common strategy that's been deployed for the last couple of decades almost under the old rules. And what it does effectively is it allows both people who have worked and earned, paid into the system, to delay filing, but it would allow a spousal benefit to be collected. Because remember, when you pay into the Social Security system, you're paying not only for your own benefit, but also for what are called auxiliary benefits, benefits for your spouse or minor children or dependent parents. It's not just a benefit for you. There's a spousal benefit being paid for when you pay those Social Security taxes. So she was planning to claim that, which she has a right to do, and had a right to do, and collect at least something until her own benefit had matured to the maximum amount possible, which would be her age 70, where she would switch to that, and then George and Georgette would have a more substantial amount of secure income coming in. Now, these folks are not rich. They don't have a whole lot of a nest egg built up. They have some savings, but the Social Security was going to be a major part of their long-term retirement prospects, and that's why they really were trying to maximize the benefit. You might say, well, you know, they're going to have to spend a bunch of money before age 70 because they probably don't want to work to 70, or maybe they can't work to 70. That's true, but when you look at, especially in a low-interest environment like we have now, when you look at the benefits of delaying Social Security, the extra payout you get versus, and of course, if you do that, you're going to have to spend maybe other savings to live on until you get to 70. If you look at the money you'd spend during that time, you can think of that as buying a higher Social Security benefit, because paying that money to live on is allowing you to delay Social Security and earn the higher benefit, which specifically is 8% increase for every year you delay past your full retirement age. So for these two, it means a 32% higher benefit at 70 compared to what they'd get at age 66. Now, the trade-off is they had to forego collecting during those 4 years from 66 to 70. But that's where maybe some savings or maybe part-time work or something, you could use something else. The alternative is to turn on your Social Security immediately and not have to spend that other money to live on. But when you look at the trade-off, especially in a low-interest environment, for what you could get by keeping that money, putting it in something else, maybe some other insurance product like an annuity, which would be another form of secure income, or where, you know, put it in the bank or something like that, you're not going to get the benefits on that side nearly as much as you'd get the benefit from the increased Social Security payment. So for a lot of people in this low interest environment that we've now had for the past 10 years and are still in right now at the beginning of 2016, it can make a lot of sense to do everything you can to try to delay claiming your Social Security. Other people have different opinions on that, it's the way we look at things in here. We compare to Social Security benefits, what you might receive there, versus what you could get elsewhere for the same cost or sacrifice that you might have to make. So they really needed to delay to 70 is the basics of it. And they, of course, knew that they probably wouldn't be able to work that whole time, but Georgette was going to be able to collect a Social Security spousal benefit for a few years, for 4 years, while waiting for her benefit to grow. Now, the situation's changed. Due to the rule change that's happened, she's still able to file a restricted application. So when she turns age 66, she can still file for just a spousal benefit. That ability she has retained. However, George can no longer suspend his benefit and allow Georgette to collect. If he suspends, her benefit shuts off as well, her spousal benefit specifically. So the plan of George filing at 68 and allowing Georgette to claim her spousal, which she'll be 66 at the time, that won't work unless George continues to collect. And then he's going to give up the extra 8% every year for 2 years from 68 to 70 that he would earn by delaying. And they really can't do that. They really need, they're planning on having the maximum Social Security benefit that they can get. It makes their long-term prospects into their 80s and 90s, and both of them come from families with longevity in the family, makes their long-term prospects look the most favorable in their eyes. So what's happened to them? Essentially, Georgette has lost out on 2 years' worth of spousal benefits. Once George reaches 70, he's going to turn on his benefit, and at that time, Georgette will be 68 and will be able to claim a spousal benefit. That she can do. What she can't do is claim a spousal benefit at 66 when George is 68, because he's going to be delaying until 70. She's effectively lost out on 2 years worth of what turns out to be about $900 a month in spousal benefits, or $21,600 over that 2 year period. She's going to have to find somewhere else to come up with that money, or continue working part time, or who knows what, compared to what they would have able to do prior to the rule change in November of 2015. So here's a middle income family. Yes, they have a Social Security benefit, but don't have a whole lot of other savings. That $21,000 over a two-year period is a noticeable amount. That means somebody having a part-time job or somebody not having to have a part-time job. It actually makes a significant difference for these particular people who are not in the rich category looking to take advantage of a loophole. Effectively, the spousal benefit that George has paid for, that he has earned by paying into the Social Security system for some 40 years, is unavailable to his spouse for two full years because of this rule change. That's the real cost to people like George and Georgette. Now, the only good news behind this whole story is at least they've reached age 62. If neither one of them were 62 yet, they would lose out, Georgette would lose out on an additional 2 years. The years from 68 to 70, she would not be able to file a restricted application and lose out on two full more years. So, sorry to say, but people who are a little bit younger, who are just a couple years younger than George and Georgette, if you had all the other circumstances the same as George and Georgette, you'd be losing over $43,000 compared to the rules that you were able to use prior to November of 2015. So we wanted to bring this to people's attention. In the written blog post, I tried to clarify this in a nice little table looking at the benefits they could claim in the old rules versus the new rules. I know this can be kind of confusing, especially if you don't understand the difference between a restricted application and file and suspend, and can you suspend now and can't you suspend now? It's all very confusing. If you have any questions on this, please, please let us know. We're more than happy to answer your questions. And hopefully, this adds, at least puts a little light on a real situation that might affect you as it has affected George and Georgette. So thanks for tuning in. This is helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, and we'll be back with you next week with a brand new blog post.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefits.
Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Jim Salner, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.